All right. So we're back on the gifts and operations of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. So 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So he tells us here, Paul tells us right up front that he doesn't want us to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. And, unfortunately, by and large, the church world has been ignorant concerning the very thing that God said, I don't want you to be ignorant about. And so that's why we're trying to dispel ignorance here in this series. Amen. I'm not calling you ignorant. Amen. In fact, though, it's not, there's nothing wrong with being ignorant. That just means you don't know about it. Yeah. Ignorant and stupid are two different things, right? Hallelujah. And you're certainly not stupid because you came out to church tonight. Amen. You're wise. Amen. Glory to God. And so God doesn't want us to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. And as I pointed out, I'll point out again tonight, when he says now concerning spiritual gifts. There, let's go back to verse 1, Mike, for a second. Now concerning spiritual gifts, if you look in a New King James Bible or a King James Bible, that word gifts is italicized if you look at it in your Bible. Raise your hand if you see that, if that's the case in your Bible, okay? All right. If that's the case in your Bible, then that word gifts is italicized, which means it was not in the original language. The translators added it for clarity. They were translating Greek into English, and sometimes there's not a word-for-word translation. They were doing the best they could, and they did a good job, but this word gifts was not in the original. It literally says, now concerning spiritual, brethren. And the word spiritual is actually in the plural. And so literally it says, now concerning spirituals, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. And that word spirituals, what it literally means is things pertaining to and of the Holy Spirit. So it means spiritual gifts, but it means more than just the gifts of what we know as the gifts of the Spirit, which we are studying. It's anything pertaining to the Holy Spirit. Amen? We should know the Holy Spirit. We should get acquainted with Him. The Holy Spirit's not an it. He is a divine personality. Amen. He is the third person of the Trinity. And we should get to know Him because He lives in you. Amen. Don't you think you ought to know who lives inside you? Amen. If you had somebody living in your house and you didn't know, you had not gotten acquainted with them, wouldn't that be strange? Yeah, if somebody lives here, they stay in that bedroom back there. I've not really met them, though. Wouldn't that be odd? That'd be preposterous, wouldn't it? Amen. He lives in you. So we need to get acquainted with Him. Amen. Praise God. And then he tells them, he says in verse 2, he says, you know that you were Gentiles and you were carried away to these dumb idols. Okay. And the word dumb there means not able to speak. He said, you used to worship idols that couldn't speak, but now you're worshiping the true God, the living God, and He can and does speak. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. And so he says, I want to give you some guidelines so you can know when He's speaking. And the amazing thing is that He speaks through us, because He says in verse 3, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God. It's possible for humans, for Christians, for believers to actually speak by the Spirit of God, or in other words, to speak words that are inspired by God. And what a privilege that is. Yes. Amen. But how do you know if you or somebody else, what you're saying, is that inspired by the Spirit of God or is that just you? You know, one time, you know, Peter, in the same sentence, basically, he said, you know, Jesus asked the disciples, who do you say that I am? And he said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. He was speaking by the Spirit of God there. And then Jesus, in that same time, he started telling them that he was going to go to the cross and he was going to die. And Peter began to rebuke him. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. In the same day, but probably within the same few minutes, Peter's speaking by the Spirit of God, and then he's speaking inspired by the devil. So we need to know, amen? We need to have discernment and understanding. And that's why Paul was writing to the Corinthians. He said, you were worshiping these dumb idols that couldn't speak. Now you're worshiping a God that does speak, but I want to make sure that you know if it's Him speaking. Amen? And he says, nobody speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. To sum it up, if we're speaking by the Spirit of God, it will point to Jesus, it will exalt Jesus, and it will lift up Jesus. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And so then he goes on in verse 4, and he begins to list the nine, or well, actually verse 7, but we'll start in verse 4. He says this, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. He said, the first thing you need to know is that it's not going to be cookie cutter. It's not going to be exactly the same. God likes variety. Amen? Hallelujah. There's diversities of gifts, differences of ministries, diversities of activities or operations, the King James says. But it's the same God, the same Lord, the same Spirit working all of it. Amen? And then he begins to list the nine gifts or manifestations of the Spirit. And we also mentioned and talked a little bit about the motivational gifts listed in Romans 12, 6 through 8, and also the ministry gifts. We won't take time to talk about those tonight other than what I just did in mentioning them. But these are the nine gifts or manifestations of the Spirit. In verse 7, he says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Who's the manifestation given to? Every believer can be used. And who are they given to profit? All. Okay. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. If you were counting, then you saw that there were nine, or you noticed that there were nine manifestations or nine gifts that were mentioned there or listed there. All right? And I like using the word manifestation because that's what Paul uses, okay? The manifestation of the Spirit, okay? But one in the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. And so we need to know this, and I'll reiterate this. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are manifested through individuals, not for their personal benefit. If a manifestation of the Spirit comes through you, operates through you, it's not for your personal benefit, most likely. It's for the benefit of others. Now, there are some exceptions that we'll actually see some of those tonight. They're manifested, it says, individually or distributed individually as He wills. As who wills? The Holy Spirit. So we don't turn them on and turn them off as we will. They are as He wills. You can't walk along and say, hey, I think I'll have the word of wisdom right now. No, you can't do that. Amen. Now, certainly we can be more or less yielded. Amen. More or less sensitive to the Holy Spirit. More or less in expectation of the Holy Spirit to manifest through us. See, a lot of times it's not that we're waiting on God. It's that God's waiting on us. Amen. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Now, so let's look at these. Let's look at these nine gifts or manifestations of the Holy Spirit. They're in three categories. There are three gifts that reveal something. That's the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. Then there are three gifts that do something. That's the gift of faith, which we're going to talk about tonight, gifts of healings, and the working of miracles. And then there are three gifts that say something. are the what we call the utterance gifts, prophecy, different kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. We've already talked about the gifts that say something in previous sessions. We've already talked about the gifts that reveal something, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the discerning of spirits. Tonight we're going to start talking about the gifts that do something, we also refer to these as the power gifts, and these are the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and gifts of healings. Praise God. All right, so, and remember this too, all these gifts, you know, we separate them out to talk about them, like if you were talking about the fingers on my left hand here, we would say, okay, that's your left thumb, that's your index finger, that's your middle finger, that's your ring finger, that's your pinky finger. We can talk about them separately and kind of talk about their function individually, but how many of you know, most all the time, they're working together, aren't they?
Yeah.
You don't just use some, you know, I mean, you can, hey, good job, Mike. You can, you know, you can use your thumb for, that's about all that I know of, you know. Good job, all right, thumbs up. But more, and certainly you don't want to use that middle finger, right? Some of y'all used to use that in the past, but even in doing that, you've got to, you know, you've got to position the others so that one's prominent, right? All right, how do we get off on that? Hallelujah, all right? And, you know, if you ladies, if you're drinking tea, you stick out the, you know, put the little finger out, right? Okay, so, but no, your fingers on your hand work together, right? I said all that to say the gifts of the Holy Spirit work together. Amen? All right. And so we separate them out to talk about them. So the three gifts that do something, or the three power gifts, are the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and gifts of healings. And so, again, let's look at 1 Corinthians 12:9, and then part of 10. To another, he says, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. And then in verse 10, to another, the working of miracles. All right. And so here, all the power gifts are listed in order in this listing in 1 Corinthians here. So let's talk about the gift of faith tonight. In the Amplified Bible, it says it this way in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9, to another, wonder-working faith. Wonder-working faith by the same Spirit. The Weymouth translation says it this way, special faith. So when we're talking about the gift of faith, we're talking about something different than what Jesus said in Mark 11:23 or 22, when he said, have faith in God. We're talking about something different than what Paul talked about in Romans 12, verse 3, when he said, for God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Amen. We're talking about something different than what Paul mentioned in 2 Corinthians 4:13, when he said, but we having the same spirit of faith. That's general faith. And this is something different. This is a supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And since I couldn't find a way to say it better than the way Dad Hagen put it, I'm going to read some of this out of his book on what he teaches about the gift of faith. He said, well, Pastor, I didn't come here tonight to get you to read, for you to read out of a book to me. I wanted you to teach me. Well, anybody, were you going to read this out of this book tonight? See, you wouldn't have done it anyway. So I'm going to read it to you. All right. Amen. And you might not have known where to read. All right. So it's all right. Amen. Every believer, he says, already has general faith or saving faith, which is also a gift. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Okay. That the faith that you were saved by is a gift of God. But it's not one of the nine gifts of the Spirit. Saving faith is given to you through hearing the Word, because the Bible says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. The faith which we're talking about in this lesson, special faith, is something other than general faith or saving faith. It is a supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit whereby a believer is empowered with special faith or wonder-working faith, and it is beyond simple saving faith. The gift of faith is the greatest of the three power gifts, and this gift is miraculous, just as the rest of the gifts of the Spirit are miraculous. The gift of faith is a gift of the Spirit to the believer in order that he might receive miracles. And the operative word, the key word there, is receive. The gift of faith has to do with receiving a miracle. The working of miracles, on the other hand, is a gift of the Spirit given to the believer that he might work miracles. There's a difference between receiving and working. Okay? All right? One gift receives, the other does something. Notice the Bible says, to another, the working of miracles. In other words, when you receive a miracle, you don't work the miracle. But when you perform a miracle by the unction of the Holy Ghost, you are working a miracle by this supernatural gift of the Spirit, the working of miracles. These power gifts are very closely associated one with another and many times work together. The same is true of the revelation gifts. They also are closely related and work together, as do the utterance gifts. It is also important to note that all of the gifts of the Spirit operate by faith. All of them. See, I said that they're manifested as the Spirit wills, but we can be more or less yielded. And we can also, and part of that yielding is being in faith and having expectation. Amen? And we can be more or less in faith concerning the gifts of the Spirit operating through us, okay? And not only individually operating through us, but as we've been exhorting you, as a congregation, collectively expecting and believing for the gifts of the Spirit to be in manifestation in our midst, right? The more we expect that, you know, the Bible says Jesus could do no what? No mighty work. Mighty work. Well, that would include the working of miracles, wouldn't it? Yes. Gifts of healings. He could do no mighty work there. Why? Because of the corporate unbelief of the people of the city of Nazareth. There's another example where the Bible says Jesus had to take a man out of the city to get him healed. Think about that. There was so much unbelief. Well, we can create, if we will, we can create a corporate atmosphere of faith. Amen. And expectation. Praise God. And we should. Amen. Excuse me. It's also important to note that all the gifts of the Spirit operate by faith, by ordinary faith on the part of the believer through which the gift is being manifested. In other words, a person must step out in faith and yield to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. That's where simple faith is involved. This ordinary faith is the faith that comes by hearing God's word. Therefore, the gifts of the Spirit do not operate by the gift of faith, but they do operate by general or ordinary faith. In other words, they're put into operation. We step into them through faith, general faith. Remember, the Bible says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. As we said, the gift of faith, one of the nine gifts of the Spirit, is separate and distinct from the simple gift of saving faith. The gift of faith, special faith, is also distinct from the faith that is a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. Well, literally, the King James says faith, but more literally, and in the New King James, it's faithfulness when we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. There's also nine fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. So there's nine of those as well. All right. However, in the original Greek, the word faith in Galatians 5:22 could be translated faithfulness. Okay. He just mentioned. But the gift of faith is a special gift which is given supernaturally by the Spirit of God as He wills. Those who operate in special faith, the gift of the Spirit, can believe God in such a way that God honors their word as His own and miraculously brings to pass the desired result. Let me read that again. Those who operate in special faith, or the gift of faith, the gift of the Spirit, the gift of faith, can believe God in such a way that God honors their word as His own and miraculously brings to pass the desired result. Thus we learn there are different kinds of faith. Saving faith brings one to salvation. Faith or faithfulness, the fruit of the Spirit, comes after salvation. And the manifestation of the gift of special faith can come as a gift of the Spirit after one receives the baptism in the Holy Ghost. However, the gift of faith, which is a gift of the Spirit, operates as He wills, not as we will. Faith, like prayer, is something that is easily confused in the minds of some people. Many times we just put all kinds of faith in the same stack, so to speak, mix them up, shake them out all together. But we must differentiate between saving faith, or the general faith that every believer has, and this special faith that God gives on certain occasions. And the same way, the same is true with tongues, speaking in tongues. There is a gift of the Spirit. You have a question, David?
Yes.
Okay.
My question.
Yeah.
You say like a few things all together, but I just get a few of them, like kindness.
Yeah.
What is that?
Okay, That's Galatians 5, 22 and 23, talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And what the fruit of the Spirit, this is really a whole nother teaching, but I'll take a moment and address it. The fruit of the Spirit, again, the Bible says here in Galatians 5, can you find that and put those verses up, Mike? Galatians 5, 22 and 23, I think it is. Let me look. And is that right, y'all? Yeah, 22 and 23. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, okay, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there's no law. And what he's talking about there, that's the fruit of our spirit. When you're born again, you're made new. Your spirit is made new when you're saved, when you come to Jesus. And out of your spirit, out of this new nature that we've been made, this is what ought to grow out of it. Is this like an apple tree produces apples? Well, you're a born again child of God, filled with the Spirit of God, filled with the nature of God. And so this is the fruit that ought to grow out of us, amen, and will. But again, fruit grows, and it takes time for fruit to grow.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Amen. But in other words, it's the character of God or the character of Christ reproduced in us. So, praise God. Go back and put the previous verse up for just a minute. Again, let's I mean the Galatians verse, Galatians 5:22. I'm sorry. Can we get that back there? The last two you just had up there. There we go. Fruit of the Spirit is love. Again, this is what ought to be growing out of us. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All right. Praise God. So that's a good question, and that's a whole nother teaching for another day as well. So we'll get back over here on the gift of special faith, okay? But what I was saying was, like speaking in tongues, every believer can speak with tongues. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke with tongues. Speaking in tongues is the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit, and it's also a supernatural means of communication where we can pray to God supernaturally. Some people call it praying in your prayer language, or praying in the Spirit. Paul said, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. What will I do? I'll pray with the Spirit or in tongues. I'll pray with my understanding. All right. So we can do that at will, right? Okay. But then there's a manifestation, one of the gifts of the Spirit called different kinds of tongues. That is where you give a message in tongues that is in turn interpreted. Yes. Two different kinds. Yes. Okay? There's a public and the private side. Okay? All right. So he's talking about that with prayer as well. Many times we put all kinds of faith in the same sack, mix it up, shake it out together. But we must differentiate between saving faith or the general faith that every believer has and this special faith that God gives on certain occasions. Referring to general or saving faith, I've heard people say, well, if God gives me faith, I'll have it. And if he doesn't, I won't. They read the scripture, to another is given faith. And they think that's the way all faith works. However, as we've already proven, this special faith, this gift of faith, is not the same as saving faith or general faith, which one needs in order to be saved. And special faith is not the faith needed for believing God to have your needs met according to his word. The faith for believing God for your needs to be met comes by hearing the word. And every believer is given a measure of that kind of faith, as we pointed out, that's Romans 12:2. Also, as I already pointed out, this gift of faith is not the fruit of faithfulness that grows in a person's life to develop character in Christian living. Special faith is not the general faith by which we ordinarily receive answers to prayer. We know that we are saved by general faith. We know that we receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost by faith, general faith. We know that we receive answers to prayer by this kind of ordinary or general faith because Jesus said, what things ever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Many of us have received many answers to prayer just through faith, even before we ever received the baptism in the Holy Ghost. These answers came because we believed God and appropriated the promises in his word by faith. But that's still not this gift of faith as described in 1 Corinthians 12:9. If the gift of faith had to be in manifestation in order to get an answer to prayer, to receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost, to receive healing for your body, or to have a financial need met, then you could never get your prayers answered until after you got saved and received the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Yet many of us, including myself, did receive healing before we ever received the baptism in the Holy Ghost. We received healing by exercising simple faith in what God's Word says. Also, if these general answers to prayer were the result of the gift of faith in operation, then not everyone, even if they had the baptism in the Holy Ghost, would be able to obtain answers to prayer because not everyone will have this gift operating in them. Remember, the Bible says, for to one is given by the Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit. Therefore, if we had to rely on this gift of faith to get our prayers answered, then not everyone could get their prayers answered. And we know that is untrue. But there is a faith, I call it general faith, that all believers have that can be increased by feeding on the Word of God and exercising it in the arena of life. We can all have an ever-increasing faith. Amen? The gift of faith, however, is a supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit given as the Spirit wills. The gift of faith is also distinct from the working of miracles, although both gifts produce miracles. One of them is active and the other is passive. The working of miracles is active. It actively works a miracle. The gift of faith doesn't work a miracle, but passively receives a miracle. In other words, the difference between the working of miracles and the gift of faith is that the gift of faith or the gift of working of miracles actively does, and the gift of special faith passively receives. When Daniel was in the lion's den, he received a miracle, right? In those days, as well as throughout history, there have been those who were thrown to the lions, and the lions devoured them. Why didn't the lions devour Daniel? The Bible says Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. There's no doubt that God gave Daniel special faith for a special manifestation of this gift of the Spirit to receive deliverance. Daniel didn't do anything. He just lay down and went to sleep. His faith was passive rather than active, yet he received a miracle. We see Jesus exercising this gift of faith as he slept in the back of the ship during the raging storm. Someone might argue, yes, but that was Jesus. He is the Son of God. However, Jesus never did anything except by the power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus voluntarily stripped himself of what power he had as the Son of God when he came to the earth. Philippians 2:7 tells us that. Jesus was just as much the Son of God before the Holy Ghost came upon him and anointed him as he was after he was anointed. Yet, because he stripped himself of that power vested in him as the Son of God, when he came to the earth, Jesus never worked any miracle prior to the time he was baptized by John and the Holy Ghost came upon him. You see, when Jesus was on the earth, he ministered only as a man anointed by the Holy Ghost. If he had worked miracles by some power that was inherent in him as the Son of God, he would not have told us that we could do the works that he did. Right? But Jesus plainly said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the works that I do, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also." That's John 14:12. But if Jesus did the works as a man anointed by the Holy Ghost, then certainly under the inspiration and anointing of the Holy Ghost, believers could do the same thing. While the raging storm swept the sea and threatened the safe journey of the disciples to the other side of the lake, Jesus was asleep in the hinder part of the boat. He wasn't bothered by the storm. And while the lions roamed about in the den, Daniel lay down and slept in the face of danger in perfect peace and calm assurance. Why? Because Jesus and Daniel each possessed a faith beyond simple general faith every believer can have through hearing the word. Throughout the Bible, we see how the gift of faith worked primarily for people who were in danger. So again, this would be the exception. When the gift of faith is in operation, it really is for the benefit of the person through which it is operating. Okay? But that's the exception. Throughout the Bible, we see how the gift of faith worked primarily for people who were in danger. And through this gift of the Spirit, they possessed a calmness and quiet assurance that was supernatural. The working of miracles employs faith that actively works a miracle. But the gift of faith employs faith that passively expects a miracle as a sustained or continuous action. That means when it is necessary, there is a duration to the gift of special faith. It is an ongoing action. When the gift of faith is in operation, it may be that nothing is seen at the time to confirm that the person has his answer. Therefore, special faith may carry over a long period of time and be sustained or continued in its action of passively receiving a miracle. For example, it was by the gift of faith that the patriarchs of old would lay hands on their children and pronounce a blessing or curse on them, which would sometimes come to pass many years later. We see this in the stories of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This was the gift of faith in operation. By supernatural faith, special faith in operation, these patriarchs believed that what they said would come to pass, even if it took many years. The gift of faith is a divine gift or enabling by the Spirit of God that causes what is spoken or desired by man or spoken by God to ultimately come to pass. The human or divine miracle, utterance, certainty, cursing or benefit, creation or destruction, removal or change, will eventually come to pass when it has been spoken under the inspiration of this gift of special faith. Smith Wigglesworth said that if you'll take a step of ordinary faith, when you come to the end of that faith, very often this supernatural gift of special faith will take over. Maybe that's why we haven't seen special faith or the gift of faith in manifestation more, because we haven't taken a step of our general faith and taken it as far as we can take it. Amen? All right. When you come to the end of that faith, very often this supernatural gift of special faith will take over. And he says it. Brother Hagin mentions it here. One reason more folks don't see the manifestation of special faith operating in their lives is that they don't first use what faith they already have. Under Wigglesworth's ministry, at least three different people were raised from the dead, and there were probably many more. One instance of a person who was raised from the dead was a man named Mr. Mitchell, whom Wigglesworth personally knew. One day, when coming home from an open-air meeting, Wigglesworth learned that his wife, Polly, was at Mr. Mitchell's house. The day before, when Wigglesworth had visited Mitchell, the sick man had been close to death. As Wigglesworth hurried to Mitchell's house, he heard screaming coming from the house. On the way into Mr. Mitchell's room, he passed Mrs. Mitchell, who was crying, "He's gone! He's gone!" Wigglesworth related his experience. "I just passed Mrs. Mitchell, and went into the room, and immediately I saw that Mitchell had gone. I could not understand it, but I began to pray. My wife, who was always afraid that I would go too far, and she, my wife was always afraid that I would go too far, and she laid hold of me and said, don't, Dad, don't. You see that he's dead. But I continued praying. I got as far as I could with my own faith. And then God laid hold of me. Oh, it was such a laying hold that I could believe for anything. The faith of the Lord Jesus laid hold of me, and a solid peace came into my heart. I shouted, He lives! He lives! He lives! And He's living today. Receiving the dead, raised back to life again, is beyond anyone's ordinary faith. In our ordinary faith, we could try what Wigglesworth did. We could pull someone off a deathbed and stand him up and tell him to walk, but that doesn't mean he would begin to walk. Why? Because it takes a supernatural manifestation of God's power to receive a miracle such as this. As I've mentioned, the three power gifts, the gift of faith, gifts of healings, and the working of miracles will very often work together. In the case of raising the dead, all three of these power gifts, the gift of faith, gifts of healings, and the working of miracles operate together. This is one reason we don't see too many people raised from the dead. Some of us may have one or more of these gifts operating in our lives, but not too many of us have all three of them operating in our lives. First of all, in raising the dead, it takes supernatural faith, the gift of special faith, to call a person's spirit back after it has left the body. Then it takes the working of miracles because the body would have started to deteriorate, as in the case of Lazarus. Raising the dead also takes gifts of healings. This is kind of humorous if you think about it, because if the person who was raised from the dead wasn't healed, whatever he died from would still affect his body and he'd die again. You got to have that one too, right? So the person would have to be healed too. Therefore, all three of the power gifts are in manifestation when someone is raised from the dead. Sometimes people have thought that it is the gift of faith in operation in the healing of the sick. But in the case of healing, it is gifts of healings in operation. To cleanse a leper or to heal any incurable sickness as well as cripples, the gifts of healings are in operation. Another area in which the gift of faith operates together with other gifts of the Spirit is the area of casting out evil spirits. In casting out demons, the gift of discerning of spirits and or the gift of the word of knowledge, as well as the gift of faith, are in operation. If you don't discern or see the Spirit, very often the presence of the evil spirit is revealed through the word of knowledge. But the gift of faith still has to be exercised in casting out the spirit. We can't deal with the devil in our own strength. But God has given us His word, His power, His authority, and all the spiritual equipment necessary to enforce Satan's defeat in our own lives. As a part of that spiritual equipment God has given us, and a part of that spiritual equipment God has given us, is this supernatural gift of faith. So the gift of faith can operate, as I said, to cast out demons, to receive the dead raised back to life, and to supernaturally sustain a person beyond the ability of ordinary faith. As I mentioned previously, the working of miracles is more of an act, whereas the gift of faith is more of a process. In other words, the working of miracles would perform a miracle, but the gift of faith would receive a miracle. In summary, first, we've seen the gift of faith in operation in receiving blessings or the fulfillment of human utterances, as in the case of patriarchs of old. As we said, many times when the patriarchs were ready to die, they would lay their hands on their sons and command blessings upon them, and whatever they said would come to pass. They did this by the supernatural manifestation of the gift of faith. Second, we have seen how this gift of faith was manifested for personal protection in perilous circumstances, such as the case of Daniel in the lion's den. Third, this gift of faith was manifested for supernatural sustenance in the time of famine. We can see this, for example, in the case of Elijah. All right, and so we're going to look at that. So let's go to 1 Kings, chapter 17, and verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word." Well, there's a gift of faith right there. So Elijah makes a declaration. He makes an utterance that there's not going to be dew or rain except at his word. The gift of faith is where God honors the word of a man as his own word. And he definitely, obviously, is operating in this gift of special faith, wonder-working faith, to declare there's not going to be dew nor rain except at my word. So there's the gift of faith right there. And then we see it in another form as we go and read these next verses. Then the word of the Lord, in verse 2, the word of the Lord came to him saying, "Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. So what is the gift of faith? The gift of faith receives a miracle, right? That's what we read from Dad Hagin. So what is Elijah doing here? He's not working a miracle. He's receiving a miracle. The ravens are working it. The ravens are bringing him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. He's being supernaturally provided for. He's receiving a miracle through the gift of faith. All right? Amen. Then, and I know we talked about this in my recent message on Sunday, where I talked about God's solution to the supply chain crisis. But in verse 8, then the word of the Lord came to him saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not." In other words, she said, "I'm down to my last meal. I can't provide for you." Okay. Elijah said to her, "Do not fear." He was not moved by her statement of lack. He said, "It's no big deal." He said, "Do not fear. It's no problem. Go and do as you've said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." He's speaking that out by the gift of faith. It's the gift of faith in operation that enables him to boldly say, the bin of flour will not be used up, the jar of oil will not run dry until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for what? Many days. Again, Dad Hagin pointed out this gift of faith can be in operation over an extended period of time. And it was here. Praise God. All right. So she went and did according to the word of Elijah. He and she and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Elijah. So Elijah was speaking by the gift of faith there. Amen? And they received that miracle of sustenance and provision through the gift of faith. All right, we'll look at one more in Acts 27. This is when Paul had been in prison in Caesarea. He got arrested in Jerusalem, got transferred to Caesarea, spent more than 2 years there in Caesarea. And as a Roman citizen, he had a legal right to appeal to Caesar. And he did that. And so they're sending him. So whoever was it Festus or Felix? I think Felix. Felix was the governor, Roman governor there in Caesarea. And so he sent him to Caesar in Rome, put him on a ship, and put him in the charge of a centurion. And they got on a ship, and so they're on this ship, and verse 9 says, Now when much time had been spent, and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised, the fast there is the Day of Atonement, so which is in the fall. So bad weather coming in. Usually at that time of year, everybody would hunker down and just wait to springtime, because that's when they had the rough seas and the storms and all. And so they decided, they were in a hurry, they thought they could make it before the weather got too bad. All right. Paul advised them, saying, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives." So what's that? Well, that's a word of wisdom, right? God is giving him insight. The Lord's giving him insight concerning the future. Now, here's another thing about the word of wisdom. Sometimes when a word of wisdom is given, it can be changed. What do you mean by change? Well, the warning that God has given through repentance, through faith, it can be changed. It doesn't have to be. Hezekiah, for example, Isaiah came and said, "Set your house in order, for you're going to die." Okay? Well, Hezekiah prayed and repented, and that was changed, right? So sometimes it can be changed. In this case, it was partially changed because we know that there was loss of the cargo, loss of the ship, but nobody was lost their lives, as we're going to read here. All right? Okay? So that was the word of wisdom that God was giving him as he perceived that. All right? Verse 11, "Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul." They said, "Paul, you stick to preaching. We'll stick to sailing. You don't know anything about sailing. You crazy Pentecostal tongue-talking preacher. Who are you trying to tell us how to run our ship?" All right. Well, they should have listened to him. Verse 13, when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose called Euroclydon. That sounds like a horror movie, doesn't it? Euroclydon. Okay. All right. "Now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, no, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up." I mean, they got out in the middle. They were basically traveling for 2 weeks in the middle of a hurricane. "But after long abstinence from food," verse 21, "after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, 'Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you," because they were throwing stuff overboard, all the cargo to lighten the ship. "Now I urge you," he says, "you would not have incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship." How do you know, Paul? Verse 23. "For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve." Well, what's that? That's the discerning of spirits. Seeing into the realm of the spirit. He sees an angel. There's an angel standing beside him. They said, "Hey," and the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me." Hallelujah. And it was, and they were. They all made it safely. You know, as you read on in the story, they all made it safely to that island, the island of Malta, I think it was. And that Paul had conducted a great healing service there. Everybody on the island got healed. That's where the viper bit him. And he shook it off into the fire and suffered no harm. Praise God. Amen. But that's the gift of faith in operation. They were supernaturally protected and supernaturally sustained. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. All right.